The title of the series is Living Life Beyond Regret. Would you please say that out loud? Say, Living Life Beyond Regret. And today we want to talk about disappointments and unfulfilled dreams. We want to talk about disappointments, please say disappointments, and unfulfilled dreams. Please say unfulfilled dreams. So living life beyond regret. So I've shared with you, I've defined regret as a feeling of sorrow for something that has happened. I think that most of us have struggled with regret. And so when you feel that sense of sorrow for what has happened, that can include disappointments, mistakes that you've made, things that have happened where you feel like you have failed, losses that you've experienced. Could be the loss of a loved one, but it could be the loss of a job, of an opportunity. It could be missed opportunities. And so when we talk about regret, we're talking about a lot of different things. So today we want to just really highlight this idea of disappointments. All of us have been disappointed, and all of us have had dreams, things that we have wanted to do. And I would surmise that we're sitting here today and maybe there's some unfulfilled dreams. Maybe you've experienced dreams coming true, but I think we've all experienced unfulfilled dreams, and we've certainly all gone through disappointments. What do I mean by that? Well, maybe you're here today and you said, well, I always wanted to go to school, and then things happened. You weren't able to do that financially, or maybe you got married when you were young, and so things just really changed, or you started a family, but maybe it was I wanted to go to school, or I really wanted that job, and I didn't get that job. These are disappointments. Maybe you've always had a dream to start your own business, and you thought, man, by now I thought I would have started my own business, but you're struggling with disappointment. Maybe you've said, I always wanted to do well in sports. I love sports, but I just wasn't that good at them, or I wasn't able to take it to a level that I really wanted to. Here's another one. I thought I'd be married by now. I wanted to be married by now. And so just that sense of disappointments. Or I wanted kids. Maybe you couldn't have kids. Maybe you're here today and you thought, well, I wanted my kids to have more opportunities, but I just didn't have the resources and the finances, or I just didn't have the time. Or maybe you were working two jobs and you weren't able to spend time with the kids like you wanted to. Here's another one. I just want my kids to be happy. Maybe you have kids that are really struggling with sorrow, with sadness. Maybe you have adult children that are really struggling with depression and anxiety, or maybe they've even been suicidal, and there's just a cry in your heart saying, man, I just want my kids to be happy, or maybe to have friends. And so all of that leads to just heartache and disappointment. Maybe you're here today and you say, I thought I would have more money by now, more resources. I can't believe I'm still living month to month. I'm not fulfilling any dreams. I thought I would have a house by now. Maybe that's been a dream of yours and it still hasn't happened. What about this one? I thought I would be healed by now. Maybe in your heart, maybe you're still struggling from disappointment. Maybe you went through a loss and you thought for sure I'd be over that. Maybe you went through the heart-ripping, heart-wrenching divorce, and you thought for sure you would be healed by now. For sure you would be healed and be remarried. Maybe you lost your spouse. Maybe you lost a child, someone close in your family, but yet the ache and the hurt is still there. And you thought, man, I thought for sure I'd be healed by now, but I'm not healed. Maybe you've been struggling with a physical condition, and man, you've believed the word, and you have trusted God for the promise of healing, but you're still not healed. You're still believing God for physical conditions and things that you're suffering from. These all lead to real heartache and disappointment. And so when we're disappointed, think about this. We're disappointed and we're really hurt by those. And usually it's because we feel like God didn't show up. Does that make sense? Because you believe God. You believe his dreams. You believe the things that are in your heart. And so you start struggling with disappointed because it really hurts. And we feel like God just didn't show up. In other words, we felt like he gave us promises. We read the word. We studied the word. We prayed. And we felt like we trusted him and believed him for the impossible, even the impossible of miracles. But yet it didn't happen. And so there's this heartache. There's this disappointment. Listen to Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. That is so true. When you have a longing fulfilled, when you had a dream and it actually came to pass, there's no way to really express and articulate the warmth in your heart and the excitement and just that feeling of satisfaction and meaning. Wow, that dream came true. But the antithesis of that, the opposite of that, is that when you're hoping and hoping for something and it doesn't happen, and hope deferred, man, it makes the heart sick. There is just a brokenness in your heart. Now, in this series, when we've talked about regret, I've given you this picture of a train. And when you're in the middle of your life, and let's pull up this visual of a train, and let's say you're riding along in life, and you look out that window, you can only see one direction. So you can either look back or you can look forward, but you can't see both. Your peripheral vision's pretty good, but in life, you really have to look either forward or look backward, but you can't see the whole picture. And by the way, let me say this as a footnote. I think sometimes we look backwards too much, and God wants you to look forward a little more. Say amen to that. Okay, now, let's look at the next picture, because this is really God's view, and we really need to take hold of this, because God is looking at your life, and the Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega. That means he's the beginning and the end, and God is outside of time. So he sees the beginning of your life, but he sees the end at the same time. That's amazing. That's incredible that God is outside time. Now, you're in the middle of your journey. You're on one of these cars of the train. So you can only see a certain amount. You only have a certain perspective. But God's looking from the top. He sees the beginning and the end. He's outside of time. Now, I want you to keep this in the backdrop of your thinking. When you invite the Holy Spirit to come and touch you and to maybe heal your memories, this will help you to realize God is outside of time. In other words, he can heal you from the past right here now. This is so powerful if we could get this perspective. And so I just want us to have this visual in our mind. And we'll come back to this when we begin to talk about receiving his healing. So I want to start by talking about how you can go from hopelessness to hope. First, let's discuss and just talk about the downward spiral of hope. I think this will resonate with you as I describe this. Now, in Jonah chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, this is the picture of what happened to Jonah. But listen to what it says. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. There's so much that I could talk about here of just feeling like drowning. When despair comes on you, when you start feeling hopeless, you feel like you're drowning emotionally, drowning physically. But watch how he says this, that the seaweed wraps around your head. In other words, you're not thinking very clearly. In other words, your thinking is warped. It affects your thought life. Keep that in mind. And then he says this, to the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. So there's this feeling like forever I'm going to be in this pit. Forever I'm going to feel like I'm drowning. But you got to get a hold of the last part of the verse. But you brought my life up from the pit. Okay. But hopelessness is a sense of downward spiral where there just feels like there is no hope. I can't get out. It's going to be forever. Now, here's the way I think it works. You start feeling disappointed about something, and then you get discouraged. So it's even hard to keep your faith up. You're just discouraged about life. Then you start doubting everything. You start doubting God. You start doubting the promises, the things that he put in your heart. You start doubting the dreams because you've been disappointed. You've been discouraged. So now you're doubting, and then you're even disillusioned. Thinking, what is it even worth? And then that eventually leads to despair. Despair would be this sense of, why would I even live? And that's when thoughts of suicide come. Now, I think even emotionally healthy, mature Christians can go through this process. But here's the key about maturity in the Lord, is that you bounce back. One, you bounce back, but the more you walk with the Lord, you bounce back quicker. And that would be my heart, Lord, that there have been so many times I've been disappointed, and it paralyzes me, it holds me back. But I want to learn to receive His healing and His promises quickly so that I'll bounce back quicker. And so I think, I'll bet if we're really honest in the room here, we've probably all felt a little bit of despair. And if you've really gone through a tough time relationally or financially or even in your career, you've probably had these thoughts. And I'm talking to mature and healthy and emotionally intelligent people. But I'll bet you've even had this thought go through your mind. Why would I even live? I got a pretty good health. I got a pretty good life insurance policy. So if I passed away, my family would be taken care of. That is not really an uncommon thought. I'm going to pull the curtain back. I thought those thoughts. Now, I didn't stay there. I recognized, man, that is not of the Lord. That is not right. And I knew I had to make a mental and spiritual shift to come out of this. But this is the downward spiral that can happen. So the first thing you got to say to yourself is, when you're disappointed, first say this: I'm like everybody else. You are not alone. We have all felt this. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord or how mature you think you are. But we've all gone through this. So say this to yourself when you go through this, that you're not alone. But then begin to say to yourself, but this is not where the Lord wants me to go, and I don't want to spiral down into despair. Now, word of hope for you, if you're in that place right now, I speak life and I speak hope into you, and God's going to do something in your heart. Say amen to that. So that's a downward spiral. Now, this would be the upward spiral of hope. This is where we would go from hopelessness to hope. So we looked at a scripture about the sea or the ocean. Let me give you another scripture. This would be when Jesus is with his disciples, and he's crossing from one side of the lake to the other. And it says this in Mark chapter 4 and verses 39 to 41. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Let me stop right there. When you start going through the storms and you start feeling disappointed, that's a normal prayer. Lord, don't you even care? Lord, you spoke to me before. I promise this. Don't you even care about this? That's what they said to him. They woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So the Lord speaks into their situation. He calms the storm. Now, I want you to apply this very, very specifically. He says to them, he says, are you afraid? And it says they were terrified. Now, if you're going to come out of hopelessness and believe God again and have hope in your heart, you might be afraid. They were terrified. You might be afraid. There's a lot to this. Why were they afraid? There's so much there. But why were they terrified? You might be afraid or even terrified, listen carefully, of what you might have to do to get out of your hopelessness. That's really important. That's really important. Because when we get out of our hopelessness, it requires some responsibility on our part, some tenacity, some courage, some bravery to say, I'm going to do something and I'm going to believe God again. Again, it's understandable what you're feeling. And so what happens is this, my brother and sister, is sometimes we're afraid or terrified by what we might have to do to change. I want to say this with a lot of love and compassion, because I've been there and I think we've all been there. But what tends to happen is it gets easier to be in the hopelessness than to make the choice to begin to shift our perspective and get God's hope in our life. So I want to say this with sensitivity and with a lot of love. But what happens is sometimes the hopelessness and the despair is more familiar and we're more comfortable in it than the process of getting out of the hopelessness. I say that with love and compassion because I get it. I understand that when you're in that, it's really, really hard. But I'm also here to declare to you that God can give you the power and the strength to be able to do that. And we're going to see how this works. And so in going from hopelessness to hope, it's going to take some courage on your part. Sometimes we think that God is just going to step down and rescue us. But I'm going to share with you the reality is there's a few things that we have to do to go to God. And then he'll meet us there. I mean, think about it. Even when it comes to salvation, right? Jesus died for your sin. He's your Savior. But you had to say, I got to repent of my sin and I need a Savior. There's a responsibility. So even when it comes to our emotional healing and breakthroughs, there is a responsibility on our side. But here's the great news. If you take a step toward him, he's there saying, yeah, I'm right here. If you take a step of faith, if you start moving in that direction, he's right there to say, yeah, my son, my daughter, come. And and you're going to start getting strength to take one step at a time. It's going to take courage to come out of hopelessness and into hope. So let me give you some steps toward regaining hope. Let me give you some steps today, okay? The first one is this. Now, I'm talking to people that love the Lord today, okay? The first one is this. You got to recognize that you probably have a stronghold. You probably have a stronghold in your mind, okay? So listen to 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5. The Holy Spirit has given us divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Okay? So a stronghold takes place in your mind. So here's what happens. A stronghold in your mind is where it's dominating you and you can't get victory over it. It starts as a foothold, but then it becomes a stronghold. Now notice where the stronghold takes place. It takes place in your mind because of the arguments against yourself, the arguments that come from the enemy, he lies at you, the pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is that he has plans for you, hope and a future. Say amen to that. That's the truth. Those are the things. So if you're not feeling it and you feel hopeless, I'm going to give you a number of scriptures today that there is hope. So if you're feeling hopeless, then you're not listening completely to God's promises for your life. So you probably have a stronghold in your mind if you're struggling with hopelessness. So just be honest and say, Lord, I recognize that, and I must have a stronghold in my mind. This is where you really feel hopelessness. Now, if you're bouncing back quick, that's not a stronghold. But if it's dominating your life and it's dictating your emotions, then it's probably a stronghold. So I'm going to ask you to be really courageous today. And call it what it is. A stronghold in this area is sin. It's sin. Now, the Greek word for sin is harmatia, which means to miss the mark. It's the picture of a bullseye. And if you don't hit the bullseye, and it goes just to the left, barely to the left, barely to the right, it's harmatia. It's still sin. You miss the mark. And so in not receiving everything that God wants for us, hope, and living in peace and joy, we're just missing the mark. So I'm going to ask you to be really courageous and say, if there's a stronghold of hopelessness, that's sin. Let me call it what it is. I'm missing the mark. Here's why. Because you're looking to yourself more than you're looking to God. Somebody tell me you love me for a moment. I just want to feel the love. Okay? But if I do this, and I've done this so many times, so let me just personalize it, where I feel hopeless or I'm discouraged or I'm disappointed in God because the dream hasn't come to pass, when I thought it should come to pass, or how it should come to pass. And so I'm so disappointed, and I feel hopeless. But you know what I'm really doing? I'm focusing on myself. And I'm looking to myself and what I want more than I'm looking to what God wants. So true growth and maturity in Christ is willing to say, you know what, I'm going to call this what it is. I'm going to call it sin. It's sin. I'm missing the mark. So I want to look to the Lord and not myself. Listen to Psalm 39, verse 7. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. So what this means is you actually have to admit, please listen carefully, that you may have misdirected your hope towards stuff instead of the Lord. And only you can answer that in your heart. Were you really looking for material things more than the Lord? Were you looking for a relationship out of your own brokenness to feel complete? And yet God wants you to be complete before you get married. We always say this in our premarital counseling. Two halves do not make a whole. God wants to make you whole. Then when you get married, you're whole. You're whole with or without your spouse, because Jesus makes you whole. And so this is really, really important to say, you know what? Maybe I've misdirected my hope in relationships, misdirected my hope in finances, misdirected how I'll be fulfilled. Maybe there's this longing, this gnawing in your heart that thinks, well, if I just had that job, I'd feel good about myself, or I had just had this level of income, I would feel good about myself. And so your hope is in that. And I'm here to announce to you and just share with you in a wonderful way, you can be complete and whole even without all that stuff, because He makes you whole. He makes you whole. Hallelujah. So whether you have the stuff or not, you're whole in Him, because it's all about Him. And so just be honest and say, Lord, maybe I misdirected my hope. I want my hope to be in you. The last part of the verse said, my hope is in you, not in stuff. And so the first thing is recognize you probably have a stronghold. But the great news is you can get victory over that. You can learn to take captive your thoughts, make them obedient to Christ. How does that work? You feel hopeless, but instead of meditating on it, instead of just mulling it over, instead of doing that, you have the courage to shift your focus and still believe God and say, God, you're good. You're still a good God. Even if it doesn't happen when and how I thought it would happen. The second step is this: invite the Holy Spirit to touch you and empower you. Right at that place. 2 Timothy 1:7 out of the New Living Translation. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power. Please say power. But of power, love, and self-discipline. He's given you power, the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given you His love, unconditional love. But it takes some self-discipline for you to take captive thoughts and say, I'm going to believe God and what He says in his Word. And so invite the Holy Spirit to come into this place of hopelessness. I'm going to encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit right where you're at, right in your life, right now, and say, Lord, come with your power to give me hope again. You know, we spend time studying the Word, but some of you are so knowledge-based that you're missing out on an encounter with the Lord. So be wide open to the encounter and say, Lord, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to come and touch, heal my heart, breathe life, and breathe hope in me again. The third step is this: get biblical in your thinking. Because if we're honest, we're dwelling on ourselves, we're thinking about that it hasn't worked out. But listen to Philippians 4:8, and this is out of the New King James Version. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, now watch this, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So much we could say here, but let's drill down on this. If it's of good report, meditate on that. But you know what we do? Let's be honest. We meditate on the bad report. We dwell on that. We regret. We go over and over and over, and we're looking at the bad report, and God's just saying, now listen, you've got the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do this. Man, say this out loud. I can do this. By God's grace. By God's grace. We can do this. God can give us the grace to now focus on the good report and meditate on that. If you felt the hopelessness, and I get it. You've said, I've done this for so many years. I prayed. I fasted. I get that. I've been there. But God wants to have you do it again. Do it again. And to say, Lord, I'm not going to focus on the bad report and that it hasn't happened. Man, I choose the good report and I'm going to meditate on that. That's what hope is all about. So get biblical in your thinking. Four, command your soul to praise the Lord. When you're hopeless, you don't want to praise the Lord. You don't feel like it. Now listen to Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? So he's talking to himself. Why do I feel so down? Why do I feel so hopeless? Then he says this, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So he's talking to himself. You got to learn to talk to yourself. Say, why are you hopeless? Put your hope in God. Praise God. And you know what you need to do is from your spirit, talk to your soul and your emotions and say, I command you to praise the Lord. I started doing this years ago when I would feel down. You know, I'm an emotionally driven person. I would like to say I'm anchored in intellectuality. I'm an emotional person. I'm a feeler. I'm a feeler. And so I have compassion. If I pray for you at the altar, I will often weep with you. I'll cry. I'll feel your pain. But the negative side of that is that I can get down pretty quick. And I have had to learn this over the years. And so I started looking at myself in the mirror, literally. And I'd say, Eric, you praise the Lord today. Eric, you praise the Lord. And I'd make myself smile. And sometimes I'd laugh. I'd make myself laugh. But I would command my soul to praise the Lord. So from your spirit, you got to say, Eric, I command you to praise the Lord. Eric, I command you to praise the Lord. If you've never tried that, you should try it. It makes a difference. Talk to yourself and command your soul to praise the Lord. Even if you don't feel like it, give it a shot. Give it a shot and see what the Lord does. And you speak from your spirit into your emotions and into your intellect and say, I command you to praise the Lord. Next one, choose life and not death. Now this takes courage. This takes strength. If it was easy, nobody would struggle with hopelessness. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 out of the New Living Translation. Today, I've given you the choice. Do you realize you have incredible choice? You don't have to be here today. You chose to follow the Lord. You choose so many things in life. God gave you this incredible power as a human being to choose. Now, the great thing about that is when you're feeling hopeless, you can choose. You can choose. So that tells you right there, you can choose to do it. You say, well, I don't think I can. Yes, you can. I don't feel like it. Yes, you can. Because God's word is more powerful than what you're feeling. And his truth overrides the fact that you might be feeling down. The truth is, you can do this. You can choose life. So you've got the power because you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. So you can choose. Even if you don't feel like it. Say amen to that. Even if you don't feel like it. So today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and cursings. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life. So that you and your descendants might live. God wants you to live. I want you to experience life. And it's an abundant life. But it takes a choice. You got to choose. And I can do it. You can do it by His grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number five, seek Him. Seek Him. Lamentations 3 and verse 25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. To the one who seeks Him. He's good to me. He's good to me. My hope is in Him. Watch this. I'm seeking Him. So if you seek Him, hope is coming. If you press in, you call out to the Lord, His hope is going to be released to you. So seek Him. Number six. Number seven. Be renewed by heaven. Right now. Be renewed by heaven. Not tomorrow. Right now. Be renewed by heaven. Not when you get to heaven, but right now. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Where inwardly? For our light and momentary troubles are far outweighing. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now get a hold of this. You're being renewed day by day. You've got heaven on the inside of you. God wants you to live as a heavenly person now. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. That's why you're a new creation. It's a taste of heaven. You have this ability to live in this now, not just when you get to heaven, but right now. So call on that. Draw on that. Believe that. Can you say amen? So seven things here. Recognize you probably have a stronghold. Then invite the Holy Spirit to touch you and empower you. Get biblical in your thinking. Command your soul to praise the Lord. Choose life, not death. Seek Him, and then be renewed by heaven right now. If you begin that process and those steps, I believe you're going to start feeling hope again. Hopelessness will begin to flee. Hope will come. Now, let me give you four anchors for the storms of life. Because I want you to remember, we've looked at some scriptures about spiraling downward in the waters. But Jesus calmed the storm over the waters. And so, four anchors for the storms of life. Now, in Acts chapter 7, Paul is on his way to Rome. Huge storm comes, and he's shipwrecked. Before he's shipwrecked, here's what it says in Acts 27, verse 29. Fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. So I'm going to give you four anchors in the scripture. The first one is Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You might be here today and feel weary. You've worked hard. You've done things prompted by love. You've tried to endure, but you feel hopeless. But God wants to inspire you today. Your first anchor is Jesus. Your first anchor, no matter what you're going through, is Jesus. That's one anchor. The second anchor is God's Word. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul wait, and in His Word I put my hope. So that's an anchor, His Word. You got to keep going into the Word. You got to keep studying the Word. You got to keep reading the Word. The third one is this, fellowship. 2 Corinthians 1, 7, and our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Our hope for you is firm, but it's fellowship. May I just say this with just a lot of love right now? But if you're feeling hopeless, please don't isolate yourself. I'm asking you as a brother in the Lord, please don't isolate yourself. I know it's tempting. I know people do it all the time. But you need other people. And I have found out this, and I go to the Lord alone, but I have found out this in my life, and I think many of you will testify, this will resonate with you, that when I've stayed in fellowship, it's got me out of it a lot quicker. Because then I got a friend that can pray for me. I got a brother that will speak life into me. I got a wife that will say, come on, we can make it through this. Say amen to that. Something about fellowship. So I'm going to ask you, please don't isolate yourself. You need the church. You need brothers and sisters in the Lord to walk with you. And the fourth one is this, prayer. Prayer. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. Even if you don't feel like there's results, even if you don't feel like you're seeing a result. Romans 12, verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. The implication there is as you pray, that God's going to give you patience, but he's also going to give you joy, to be joyful in help. Those are four anchors in the storm: Jesus, the Word, fellowship, and prayer. And God will give you hope through the storms of life. Can you say amen, church? So I want to close with this. In Mark chapter 5, this is an incredible story, incredible event that took place. But I want to read it to you because I think it really encapsulates what we're saying today. So in Mark chapter 5, the latter part of verse 24, he says this: a large crowd followed him and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Now watch this, verse 26. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. I just draw that up on your video screen. And maybe you're here today and you feel like you've had that physical condition. If you've seen doctors, you spent all that you spent all your money, you don't even know what else to do. But it could be emotionally. Emotionally, you've done everything you can. You're spent. Emotionally, you've been to psychologists, you've been to counselors, you've read the books, but yet you feel like there's no breakthrough. You're still bleeding. You're hemorrhaging. You're bleeding. You can be here today and be bleeding physically, but you could be bleeding emotionally. That's hopelessness. That's where she's feeling this hopelessness. When she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She had heard about him. You've heard what God has done. Now, I don't have a lot of time to say this, to explain all this. But if we had time, you should hear the testimonies of the people sitting next to you. Because you would be amazed at what some of our people have gone through. The heartache, the disappointment, the trauma, the abuse, many, many people here. So you need to hear what other people are saying, how Jesus touched them. And I'm here to tell you today, if he touched me, he'll touch you. If he touched somebody else, he'll touch you. He's not a respecter of persons. So if he heals somebody else, he can heal you. She heard about Jesus. She heard about the miracles. She heard about how other people got through this trial. It's really, really important. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him and he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and you can ask who touched me?" Now, in Luke's account, here Mark says that Jesus realized that power. In Luke's account, it's a quote. Jesus kept looking around. "I know somebody touched me because I felt power come out of me." Mark does it more of a, Jesus realized that. Luke actually gave the quotation. Verse 32, "But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.'" And so she's healed. Now I just want to tell you today that God wants to heal your heart. And that place of hopelessness, he wants to start breathing hope in again. Just like that train, wherever you're at in the train, wherever you've experienced that, the things that have maybe triggered that, and it could be multiple things on that train. And come to the Lord today and realize that he's looking above. That's like time travel. He can go back to those different cars and touch you and heal you right at those places and breathe life into you today. Now, I'm going to be bold. I'm actually going to prophesy to you right now that when you receive from the Lord right now, you're going to walk out of this place and some of that burden is going to be lifted and hope is going to come up inside of you. Maybe not everything's going to be resolved, but there's going to be the genesis. It's going to be the beginning of hope rising up again. Lord, a little bit of sense of excitement again that man, I can be healed physically. I can be healed emotionally. My dreams that are unfulfilled, there's still hope because it may not be His time yet. And I've discovered this, that God's right on time. His timing's perfect. Hallelujah. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you know, when we go further in this series and we talk about abuse, and we talk about hurt and suffering, when I think about the things that I have gone through, I wouldn't want anyone to go through them. You wouldn't want anyone to go through the abuse. But here's the amazing thing about God's grace and healing. You get on the other side and you're so healed and you're so delivered and there's so much joy. And you've learned so much along the way about yourself and God. It's not that you would want to experience again, but coming on the other side of that is an amazing perspective. So I prophesy today, you know what's going to happen? Is peace is coming first to the storm. In the chaos of the cacophony of noise and sounds, first peace is going to come. Misguided hope is going to fall away and you're going to be focused on the Lord. You say, Lord, if I could just touch you, then His grace, His power will be released. But Lord, if I could just touch you, you'll touch Him. You'll walk out of here and feel His peace. And I know this is the word of the Lord. And start feeling hope rise again. Some of you, it'll be like a mighty rushing wind. Hope coming. For others of you, it might just start like a gentle breeze here today. But as you take one step, take those steps toward hope coming again, you're going to feel the wind of the Lord rising up inside you. You're going to feel your sails filling again. Come on, somebody. You're going to feel your perspective begin to change again. Hope's going to rise. The wind is going to fill your sails again. Just touch Him. Just touch Him. Say amen to that. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet.